It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. First up in the morning brew, the Avs, 7-4 losers last night at Ball Arena, hosting the Dallas Stars. Whew, seven goals. Well, Jared Bednar says it wasn't the goalie's fault.
I thought he was great tonight. I did. I mean, you can't fault him on any of the goals. I think they're probably one that he legged back was the one that squeaked through him on the quick slip to the middle in the power play. But, I mean, he was good. I mean, we just, the quality, well, and quantity, like the defending breakdowns that we had, we did some dumb stuff today.
Mark, the Stars now 107 points. They have firm control of the Central here coming down the home stretch in the last week of the season, because it is the last week of the regular season in the NHL. Colorado probably going to miss out in the division this year, but they will most likely face Winnipeg. Now all that remains to be seen is whether or not they're going to open up here as the 2 seed or open up in Winnipeg as the 3 seed.
How concerned are you with their last 7 games, 2-4, blown out by Edmonton, 7 goals given up? And you know, you can say what you want about Georgie's game, but last 2.5 minutes of the first period, giving up 2 goals, like lack of attention to detail, breakdowns, some of those things that went on. So, what's your concern-o-meter right now for the Stanley Cup playoff run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty concerned. I mean, look, it's a different team without Mikko Rantanen, but I've been concerned dating back to last year. Now, they brought in a lot of pieces at the trade deadline, but the team that they brought all those pieces into, I thought was a ways away from being a legit deep-run contender.
Sure.
And they went on a bit of a run when they all got here. Now, it's not easy because it's starting to remind me a little bit of last year where you get 2 guys back and then 2 guys go out and you know, it's kind of like playing with 1 hand tied behind your back. But last night, you give up the division. I don't mind the matchup with Winnipeg. Now, that being said, Winnipeg has definitely had the Avs number this year, and you're going up against maybe the Vezina winner in Connor Hellebuck in that first round matchup. So it's going to be a test of wills right out of the chute, and the West is loaded. There's no doubt about it. We'll get back into the Avs here coming up a little bit later. Next up in the morning brew, it was not to be a fairy tale for Caitlin Clark.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its 3rd national championship.
We saw, Mark, Iowa and UConn smash ESPN's all-time record for views for a college basketball game. In fact, there were only 5 college football games last season that drew more views, and it outdrew any NBA Finals game. It outdrew any Stanley Cup playoff game. It is a remarkable, remarkable movement. The question now becomes, can Caitlin Clark do this in the WNBA?
Can she have that impact? I just am going to say no. I don't know what will make the WNBA appointment television. And I just don't think, as good as she was in college, as unbelievable as her career was, you know, the all-time leading scorer, both men's and women's, doesn't matter. All those things, Iowa, you know, the Midwest, the whole 9 yards. I don't know that she can elevate the WNBA. I just don't know that that has staying power.
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
You need somebody to do spectacular things. And I think that's probably the nexus of what the phenomenon surrounding her has been in college, right? It's not that she just pulls up from 35 feet. It's that she does it consistently and makes them consistently. Can you do that at the next level? Now, I will say there are moments I've seen over the run where she's making some great passes, but her teammates just can't finish. I'm very curious to see what it looks like when she's playing with other professionals. If anybody is going to do it, it's going to be her. I just, as you said, that's a very tall order. So yeah. We'll see. I mean, no rest for the wicked. The WNBA draft is coming up. I believe that's next month. Next up in the morning brew, Caitlin after the game said, it's the end of the road for now, but she's quite proud of what she's done.
Yeah, it's certainly been a special year. And to be honest, like after last year, I was kind of like, well, how do we top doing what we did last year? And somehow, some way, every single person in our locker room believed. And to be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost two players that were three-year starters for our program, and to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do. I mean, Cardoso has 17 rebounds. They have 51 as a team. We have 29. Like, hard to win a basketball game like that. You basically got to shoot perfect at that point. And, you know, I'm just proud of our group. We, you know, we never back down.
She's right. I mean, if you're going to get out-rebounded by that kind of a margin, you're going to have to be nearly flawless. And defensively, Raven Johnson, once she got switched on to Caitlin Clark, held her to 5 of 20 from the field. It just wasn't to be for Iowa. They ran into a better team. You had the classic situation of the best team and the best player meeting up in the finals. And credit to Caitlin, back-to-back national championship appearances. But Iowa does become the first program since Mississippi State 17-18 to lose back-to-back national title games.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it would be cool to see them win, but I think Dawn Staley, her program, all class, and obviously they're great. I mean, they're a juggernaut. They are great. So good for them. Congratulations. And I tell you what, it was fun. I never thought I'd be sitting down on appointment television to watch. You know, I'm watching on the plane yesterday.
Right.
So it was just like, I got to find this thing. So pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's come a long way. Next up in the brew, oh boy, are we talking about this again, really?
They're horrible. You mark that down, all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it. So I'd love to see those come out of the humidor tomorrow in a little better shape before they get rubbed up. But, you know, that's nobody to blame but myself for not being able to adjust to some of the quality issues.
That's Rays reliever Pete Fairbanks, who got tuned up in the bottom of the ninth on opening day last Friday when Ryan McMahon walked it off with the salami for the Rockies as they won 10-7 on opening day. It was a hell of a game, but here he comes after the game talking about the bad baseballs. Really, bud?
Yeah.
Okay, you lost to the Rockies. All right, we get it. I'd want to make an excuse, too. Mm-hmm. All right?
Come on, man.
You can't.
Bad baseballs out of the humidor, Mark.
Terrible.
Just terrible baseballs.
Just terrible baseballs.
And if it weren't for those baseballs that were so inconsistent, then we would have won, and I wouldn't have given up all of those runs in the bottom of the ninth. So get those humidor balls in check.
Get the balls in check, but you know, you got to throw strikes. I didn't do that. But
no excuses.
But mostly,
but get the balls in check.
Because the balls you gave. Listen, man, it's the Rockies. I get it. You lost to essentially a AAA team. I get it. Sometimes you just got to wear it.
I'd like to see those balls come out of the humidor tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see
it. I was horrible. End of story.
No excuses, no explanations. Do your job.
That's how we do it in this town. I can't say what you do in Tampa. Those Tampa teams, sensitive teams, sensitive fans.